The Christian life is not a hard life to live. It is an impossible life to live in our own strength, apart from the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I heard one amen. Oh, let me give you some for instances, right? It says in Scripture, the Bible tells us, when someone sins against us, we are to forgive them. I can handle that. We are to forgive them 70 times 7. And that doesn't mean we keep track up to 490 and 491, then we don't have to forgive. That means all the time we are to forgive. Really? Yeah. Jesus said, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. You have an enemy? You have any enemies? Do you love them? I mean, really love them. Are you praying for people that are coming against you? That's what we're told to do. Really? Bible says, let me just put it this way. You're going home today, and some guy pulls out in front of you and then gives you a hand signal. You know what we're supposed to do? Bless you. God bless you. Jesus loves you. When somebody curses, we're to what? Give a blessing in return. Really? Husbands, you are to love your wives. Or wife, excuse me. Your wife. I can handle that. As Christ loves the church, as Jesus loves you, you're to love your wife. Really? Yeah. Wives, you're to submit to your husband. Oh, I can handle that. As the church is to submit to Christ in everything. Really? Let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth. No gossip. No saying anything bad about people, you know, criticizing. No grumbling. No complaining. Really? Amen. Yeah. The Christian life is not a hard life to live. It's impossible to live in our own strength, in our own power, apart from the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Thank you. It's true. Isaiah ministered over 700 years before Jesus came. But God gave him a view, a picture of the coming Messiah, probably greater than any other of the prophets. He gave Isaiah a view of Jesus. In fact, Jesus Christ said, you know, Isaiah saw me. He saw my glory. He looked forward and saw the glory of the coming Messiah. And we are in a series right now, for some of you that are new, we're in a series, I Saw Jesus, Christ in the book of Isaiah. And today we want to take a look at the fact that Isaiah, over 700 years before Jesus came, he looked forward and saw the Spirit-filled life and ministry of Jesus Christ. So we're going to take a look at that this morning. He saw it. He saw that the life and ministry of this coming one was going to be just fully dominated by, fully immersed, fully permeated by the work of the Holy Spirit. So I want you to take a look first at the predictions of his Spirit-filled life and ministry. Take your Bible, Isaiah chapter 11. We're going to take a look at three different portions here in Isaiah. But Isaiah chapter 11, And we want to just read here, first of all, verses 1 and 2, the predictions of the Spirit-filled life and ministry. Isaiah 11, verse 1, "Then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord." First of all, this one that would come, he would be a man out of the line of David. Verse 1, did you see it there? "A shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse." Jesse was the father of David. The Messiah would be a descendant from the promised line of David. And a branch, Nasir in the Hebrew, which is a messianic title, by the way. He's called the branch. "And a branch will spring out of the roots and bear fruit." Folks, Jesus fulfilled this. Jesus fulfilled it. He was a man born out of the line of David. It's very interesting. In the New Testament, what does the New Testament start out with? Matthew chapter 1 starts out with a what? You all love to read it. A genealogy. Go down through all the names, and it shows that Jesus was from the line of King David. Amen. He was in the Davidic line. But you know what's interesting? The last chapter of the Bible, in Revelation chapter 22, verse 16, guess what it says? Jesus said, "I want you to know, I am from the root and descendant of David." Right at the beginning of the New Testament, it says he's from the Davidic line. Right at the end of the New Testament, he emphasizes again, "I'm the one who came from the line of David." That's what Isaiah saw. Jesus fulfilled that. He was a man out of the line of David. But he would be a man filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 2. Here we have what some call the sevenfold Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit. Remember when John saw up in heaven, he saw the Spirit. He saw the seven lamps, which are the Spirit of God. The sevenfold Spirit of God. The Spirit of the Lord would rest upon him. Again, the word nuach means to rest, to settle down, to dwell, to stay, to remain. Now that's important, because you remember in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon people and he came into people, but he could also leave people, right? You remember? Remember Saul, King Saul was filled with the Spirit of God. He was among the prophets. He had the Spirit, but the Spirit left King Saul. You remember David? David, when he sinned with Bathsheba and Uriah, and he wrote the 51st Psalm. You remember what he said? "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence," and what? "Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." He prayed that because in the Old Testament, the Spirit could come, but the Spirit could leave. But what Isaiah saw with this one that was coming, the Messiah, the Spirit would rest upon him, would remain upon him. The Spirit would dominate this life and would never leave this life. He would rest upon him. He goes on to describe the Spirit. He said he would be the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. And again, in Christ are all the treasures of what? Wisdom and understanding. He'd be the Spirit of counsel and strength. Remember, his name was what? His name would be called Counselor. Counsel and strength. The Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. What he's saying here is the life of Messiah would be a life that would be characterized by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, turn over to Isaiah 42, verse 1. Isaiah 42 and verse 1. Again, here we have Let me read this. Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 1. Behold. By the way, when you see that word behold, look. Gaze upon this. Get this, man. This is important. Wow. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom my soul delights, I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. Again here, he's talking here about the Messiah. Behold, my servant. I thought, boy, behold, my servant. Isn't this amazing? That when the Son of God would come to earth, that he would be a servant. Think about that. I mean, he could have come as a king. He could have come as a world dictator. He could have come as some influence. He came as a servant. In fact, Philippians 2, that passage, which is a holy ground, says that even though he were in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God something to be hung on to, but he emptied himself. King James says he made himself of no reputation. The kenosis. He emptied himself, and he was found in the form of a bond servant. He said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life. Behold, God says, my servant. And note here that he would be dependent on the Lord, dependent on God. He says, whom I uphold. And again, the Hebrew word here is tamach, which means to sustain. To hold up, figuratively, to help. The coming Messiah would be upheld or sustained by God. Keep that up here for a moment. He would be upheld by God. In John 5:19, Jesus said, the Son can do nothing of himself. Unless it is something that he sees the Father doing. I can't do anything of myself. Nothing of myself. Similar statements are found over five different portions of the Gospels. So I can't do anything of myself. I am completely dependent on God to sustain me. Thank you for that amen. It's true. It's true. And he is called God's chosen one. And God would delight in him. My chosen one in whom my soul delights. Jesus is the chosen one of God. He was chosen to come to be our Savior. He was chosen before to be the Lamb of God before the foundations of the world. Chosen of God. To come and die on the cross. My chosen one. And God says, I delight in him. I delight in him. You remember two different times at his baptism and at the transfiguration, that voice came from heaven and said, hey, this is my boy. This is my beloved son. In whom I am what? Well pleased. God's soul delighted in Jesus. Delighted in his son. Boy, that's going to make a big difference. When we get over, Lord willing, to Isaiah 53 and watch what Jesus, what God did to his son. I want us to remember that. He delighted. This is my son. I love him. I love him. He delighted in him. And he would be endued by the Holy Spirit. See it there? I have put my spirit upon him. Again, the life and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ would be characterized, dominated by, permeated by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, Turn over to Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. And verse 1 and 2a. 1 and 2a. But Isaiah 61. Here we have, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Here he says he'd be anointed by the Holy Spirit. See there, it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Literally, that says, the Spirit of Adonai Yahweh. Usually, the Lord God, the God, is usually in our translations, Lord, in all capital letters. The Spirit of Adonai Yahweh is upon me. Who's speaking there? Thank Jesus. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of Adonai Yahweh is upon me, he says. He goes on to say, because the Lord has anointed me, Hebrew Mashach, from which we get Messiah. This is Jesus. This is Jesus. The Messiah is the anointed one. He would be anointed by the Holy Spirit. By the way, three people were anointed in the Old Testament: prophets, priests, and kings. And he is the prophet. He is our great high priest. And he is the King of Kings. He has been anointed by the Holy Spirit. And he would be anointed by the Holy Spirit. Why? To minister for God. To minister for God. To bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. To proclaim liberty to the captives. And freedom to the prisoners. To proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Isaiah saw this. Amen. Over 700 years before Jesus came. Yes. He saw the Spirit-filled life and ministry of Jesus Christ. Now, fast forward over 700 years to Jesus. And I want us to see now the fulfillment of the Spirit-filled life and ministry. How did this happen? Everything concerning the life and ministry of Christ was characterized, permeated by, deluged by the presence of the Spirit of Jehovah. From the very beginning of his life to the very end, it's all Holy Spirit. Let me give you some for instances here. Number one, he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, right? You remember when Gabriel came to Mary and said, "You're going to have a kid. You're going to have a son." She said, "How can that be? I'm a virgin." He said, "Listen, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the Most High will overshadow you, such that that child in your womb will be the Son of God." He will be conceived by the Holy Spirit. You remember the angel, what he said to Matthew. Excuse me, to Joseph. To Joseph. It's in Matthew. But he said to Joseph, he said, "Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because that which is conceived in her womb was conceived by the Holy Spirit." See, right from the get-go, folks, the Holy Spirit was involved in Christ's life. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Secondly, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, the scripture doesn't specifically say this, but I take it that Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit in the womb of Mary, right from conception. Now, it doesn't say that. It does say it about John the Baptist, remember? that he was filled in the mother, his mother's womb, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. So I take it that Jesus, right from conception, was filled with God's Spirit. Right from conception. But we do know when he began his ministry, it says in Luke 4:1 states that Jesus returned from the Jordan filled with the Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, under control, totally submitted to the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Totally submitted. See, Jesus, listen, this is, Jesus had no sin. A sin in our lives gunks up the matter. Gunks us up as far as the fullness of God's Spirit. Jesus had no sin. So he could be totally under the influence, under submission to, full of God's Spirit. And he was filled with God's Spirit. Totally full. Thirdly, Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit. Anointed. Put this for, again, remember Isaiah 61:1 says he would be anointed of the Holy Spirit. Put these verses, Luke 4, verses 16 through 21. It records the story of Jesus coming back to Nazareth. And it says these words, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath. Do you get that? You know what? We don't know a lot about Jesus, his early life. Do you know what we know about him? Yeah, that's right. On the Lord's Day, you know where you could find him? You could find him in God's house. I'll tell you, I'm preaching to the choir here because you're in God's house today. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to say this, and maybe this will go out on some CDs, but if a person is spirit-filled, you know what? They're going to be in God's house. They're not going to be skipping church. I'm sorry. You know, some people say, oh, I love the Lord. I go out in the woods and I worship him. I'm going to tell you what, if you love the Lord, and it's not going to be, you're not going to be in church because you have to. You're going to be in church because you want to. Amen. You know what? I like going to church. Now, I don't have to listen to me. But I like going to church because I love being worshiping God, first of all, with God's people, and I love God's people. And if you're filled with the Spirit, you're going to be in God's house. Amen? You're going to, when it says, I don't want to get out of bed today, I'm tired today, and you're going to say, yeah, but I love going to God's house. I'm going. Amen. Yeah, all those amens. Yeah. Jesus says, well, according to his custom, he went to synagogue, and they gave him the book. They handed him the book. It was the scroll of Isaiah. And it says he opened it up and he found the place where it said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Isaiah 61:1. Because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. He has to proclaim the liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners. To proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Amen. He stopped. Rolled the scroll back up. You know what it says in the account? The eyes, everybody's eyes were riveted on Jesus. Today, in your presence, this scripture is fulfilled. Amen. Wow! And they're going, did you hear that? Whoa! What was he claiming? He was claiming to be the Messiah, the anointed one. See, he was anointed of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 says, God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good, for God was with him. I'll tell you, for ministry, he was anointed to minister. He did his ministry through the power of the Spirit of God. Couldn't do it any other way. He was led by the Spirit. Number four, Matthew 4:1 says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Oh, it's amazing where God's Spirit will lead you. Well, you never know. He might lead you to jail, Ken. He led you to jail, didn't he? Yes, he did, to minister over to jail. And to the jails, Jim. Huh? You don't know where. I'll tell you, you get filled with the Spirit, he will lead you. I'll tell you where he will always lead. He'll always lead you in the will of God according to the Word of God. He'll never lead you contrary to God's Word. But boy, you'll never know where he's going to lead you. Wow, I'll tell you, he's... All those who are being led by the Spirit, these are the children of God. I tell you, he was led by the Spirit. He was filled with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Number five, Jesus was filled with the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit are what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, long-suffering, self-control, faithfulness. And Jesus, because he was full of the Holy Spirit, these abounded in his life. Amen? You talk about love. I'll tell you, Jesus, the Bible never says Jesus said the words, I love you. But everything he did, shouted, I love you. Yeah. Right? Amen. I mean, his life was a life of love. He loved God. He loved people. His life, I'll tell you, he demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, what did he do? He died for us. No greater love than this, than a man laid down his life for his friends. And yet, Jesus laid down his life for us, who were his enemies. That's love. Love. Joy. Was Jesus joyful? He was. In fact, he prayed for us. I pray that my joy might be made full in you. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask that you may receive, that your joy may be full. I'll tell you, Jesus just exuded joy. I'll tell you, he had a joy. Peace. Peace. He could be in a violent storm in the midst of a sea and sleep. I mean, some of you can sleep in church, but in the midst of a storm? That's peace, huh? Love, joy, peace, patience. Boy, did he show patience. Man, if I was him, some of the stuff that people did, man. And a couple times he said, oh, how long do I have to put up with you guys? And he probably says that about every day of my life. How long would I have to put up with you? But thank God he's patient. Amen. Amen? And he's still patient. And we could go on with all the fruit of the Holy Spirit. His life exuded the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. Number six, he was empowered by the Holy Spirit. Luke 4:14, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. You see, Jesus did nothing in his own power. Nothing in his own power. He depended fully on the power of the Holy Spirit. Some people don't understand this. They say, Jesus lived a perfect life, Jim. He lived a perfect life, but he was God. You miss it. He didn't use his God prerogatives and his power to make life easy. He lived life down here the same way you're called to live life down here, and I'm called to live life, totally dependent on God and the power of the Spirit. That's amazing, hey? In that light, he is our example. We're to follow in his steps. Because he was empowered by the Holy Spirit. Number seven, this is interesting. He offered himself on the cross by the Holy Spirit. Did you realize that? Put this verse on Hebrews 9:14. Hebrews 9:14 says, Christ through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God. Did you get that? Through the eternal Spirit, he offered himself without blemish to God. Jesus went to the cross and offered himself as a sacrifice for sin through the eternal Spirit. Now, the whole Trinity was there at the cross, right? Christ, while he was on the cross, the Father was there. The Holy Spirit was there, the eternal Spirit. And it was through the Spirit he offered himself up. And then number eight, he was raised from the dead by the Holy Spirit. Now again, the whole Trinity was at the resurrection. Remember Jesus said, destroy this temple and in 3 days, I will raise it up. Jesus was there. Chapter 8 of Romans says, if he who raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit. That's talking about the Father. So the Father raised Jesus from the dead. But the Spirit was there too. 1 Peter 3:18. Put that down. That's important. It says that Christ died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. So the Spirit was involved in the resurrection of Christ also. Do you see it? From the conception to his resurrection, his life was filled, permeated, just deluged by the Holy Spirit. Amen. So what does this say to us? What does this say to us? The Holy Spirit permeated his life. Jesus in the incarnation could do nothing of himself, but chose to live and minister in the full dependence on God and the power of the Holy Spirit. He lived this life the way he calls us to live this life. What does that say to us? Let me answer it with these words from Rene Pasch, from his book, The Person and Work of the Holy Spirit. Listen to what he says. The living Son of God, in all his unequaled greatness, chose not to do without the help of the Holy Spirit, even for one day. How can we, poor, sinful, powerless creatures, hope to live a Christian life without the presence and the fullness of that same Spirit? May God preserve us from such foolish presumption. Do you know what it says to us? Listen to me. We desperately need the Holy Spirit. We desperately need the Holy Spirit. So let me move to the next point. The promise of the Spirit-filled life and ministry for us, for the believer. You see, folks, Jesus told his disciples, I'm going away. And it's good that I go. And they're, what? Jesus, we need you. You can't leave us. You can't leave us. We need you. No, no, no. I'm going away, and it's good that I go away. Because if I don't go away, you're not going to receive the promise. I will not leave you orphans. I'm not going to leave you by yourself. I'm not going to say, good luck, live the Christian life, see you later. I'm not going to do that. I won't leave you orphans. I will send another helper. Amen. And that another is another of the same kind. You see, he has been with you. See, he was with the disciples in the person of Jesus Christ. But he will be in you. In you. He was speaking of the promise of the Holy Spirit. And before Jesus went back to heaven, you remember what he said? He said, listen, don't go out and try to do this Christian thing on your own. The worst mistake you can make in the Christian life is to try to live the Christian life in your own strength. Because you can't do it. You'll mess it up. You'll fail. You'll get frustrated. You'll give up. Might quit going to church. Doesn't work. If you try to do it in your own strength, it won't work. So don't do that, he said. Wait. until you are clothed with power. Wait until I send the Spirit. And the Spirit came down in Pentecost. And the Spirit of God began to work in and through the life of believers. And He still does. Amen. Let me tell you, let me give you some ministries. And I'm going to list these quickly, so you just follow along. What does the Holy Spirit do in us and through us? Number one, He births us and into God's family and adopts us as sons. He births us and adopts us. John 3, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, or verily, verily, I say unto you, you must be born again. If you don't, you're not going to see the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say, you must be born again. You must be born again." I'll tell you what, the Spirit births us. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by His mercy He has saved us. By the regeneration and the washing and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. You see, when we get saved, when you get saved, the Spirit of God interpenetrates your spirit and gives you life. That's regeneration. That's the new birth. Amen. He births us. But then He adopts us. Romans 8 says, we have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but the Spirit of adoption by which we cry out, Abba, Father. He adopts us. He gives us full privileges as adult sons in the family of God. That Spirit does that. Number two, He indwells us and baptizes us. He indwells us and baptizes. He comes and takes a permanent residence in the life of the believer. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Amen? Amen. And I tell you, that means we are, or you are, if you're a Christian, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You get this. He lives in us. And He says, I'm not going. I'm not leaving you. And He baptizes us into the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit we have, listen to this, all been baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, slave or free. We've all been made to drink of one Spirit. We've got the Spirit of God, and He takes us and He puts us into the body. We're baptized with the Spirit. If you're a Christian, you are. Number three, He seals us. He seals us. Ephesians 4:30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit through whom you have been sealed unto the day of redemption. What does that mean? That guarantees what? It guarantees our salvation. Amen. He has sealed us unto the day of redemption. Unto the day of redemption. We can quench the Spirit. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. But we can't grieve Him away. He's always going to be there. He has sealed us for the day of redemption. And number four, He gives us assurance. Romans 8:16. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Do you know you're saved? I mean, do you know you're saved? Do you know you're saved? I am saved. I know I'm saved. How do we know I'm saved? How do I know I'm saved? Because I'm a wonderful person. No. That's not why. That's not why. I know I'm saved because the Spirit Himself bears witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God. You know what that is? Blessed assurance. I want to say, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, lost in His blood. Okay. I tell you what, how do I know that? How do you know that? If you're a Christian, I know that. Not, and when I look at me, I can say, oh man, I don't know. But when I listen to the Spirit, He says, you're one of mine. That's assurance. He guides us into truth and gives us discernment. Number five, John 16:13, when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. Do we need truth today? I'll tell you, there's all those lies out there, all that fake news. We need truth. Do we need discernment today? Oh, my. And the Spirit gives us that. Number six, he gives us spiritual gifts for ministry. 1 Corinthians 12:11, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. Did you hear that? It says he wills. If you are a Christian, you have been gifted. You have been given a spiritual gift. But we don't get the choice. I think I like this one, and I got this one, and no, that would be a nice one. No, no. He gives us the spiritual gift or gifts that we have. And he gives it. He equips us for ministry. Number seven, he produces the fruit of the Spirit in our lives just as he did with Jesus. And I'll tell you, the more you and I are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, the more we will see love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, long-suffering, self-control, faithfulness flowing from our life. That's the kind of person I want to be. But it only comes through the fullness of the Holy Spirit. He enables us to worship God. We are to worship in spirit. Philippians 3 says we are true believers worship God in the Spirit of God. Amen. And you know what? God is still looking today for people. He's Spirit. The Lord is Spirit. And those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. He's still looking for worshipers like that. But He helps us to worship God. He helps us in our prayer life. Romans 8:26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us with our prayers because we don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Helps us in our prayer life. He helps us to interpret and understand the Bible. Do you know what? You and I can't understand this book outside the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. You can get people that are professors at universities who teach Bible and they don't have a clue what this book says. It's true. It is true. Because they're not saved. They don't have the Holy Spirit of God. And yet you can get a humble shoe salesman like D.L. Moody who studies the book and man, he knew what the book said. You know? Because it's these things are spiritually appraised. He empowers us for witnessing. Acts 1:8. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and uttermost parts. Amen. Do you ever have a problem witnessing? Do you ever lack courage? Heard that verse on courage and power from Joshua? Do you ever lack courage to witness? Get filled with the Spirit. Because He gives us the power for witnessing. And then lastly, He gives us the power to live the Christian life. Linda and I read in our devotions yesterday, 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says, this is the will of God for you. Your sanctification. That is, you abstain from sexual immorality. That every one of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. He says, this is my will. My will is that you are sanctified. And if any man denies this, he's not denying man. He's denying God who gave us his Holy Spirit. Amen. So how can I live a holy life or a sanctified? How can I even come close to being what I should be? It's through the Holy Spirit. Like Spurgeon said, although we are born again and the Holy Spirit dwells in us, we should be constantly crying out for greater and greater manifestations of His power so that we might fulfill the commandments of God and live a godly life. God, I need you. I need your Spirit. I can't live this life. I need you, God. I need you. Ephesians 5:18 says, do not get drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then he tells us the result. It's not, and then you will be able to call fire down from heaven. Then you will be able to do miraculous signs. No, you know what he says? Then you guys, you know what you'll do? You'll submit one to another in the fear of Christ. You know what you husbands will do? Us husbands? We'll love our wives as Christ loves us. See, being filled with the Holy Spirit is practical. I'll put my wife before myself. I'll think of her before I think of me. Wives, you know what you'll do? You'll submit to your husbands in everything, as unto the Lord. You'll honor them. You'll build them up. And when they mess up, you'll encourage them. That's the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's not us. And when somebody hurts me, I'll give them a blessing. Yeah. I'll minister to them. I'll love them. I'll pray for them. That's what we'll do if the Spirit is in our lives. One illustration. The Christian life. Here's how I picture the Christian life. I want you to picture a raging river. A raging river. Rapids. Just flowing at breakneck speed down this way. And here I am in a little boat. And those rapids and that river is like the world. And it's going that way. And I'm supposed to live the Christian life and be in the world. I'm in the river. But I'm not supposed to go that way. I'm supposed to go that way. So I have, well, how am I going to do that? I know I got two oars here. So I'm gonna really try my best. But man, that river is flowing really strong down this way. And I'm gonna try. And you know what? I may kind of stay where I am or maybe get a little bit ahead. But sooner or later, what's gonna happen? Oh my. I'm gonna get tired. I'm going to wear out. I'm going to say, you know what? I can't do this. I can't do this Christian life. It's just, I can't do it anymore. And you know what? You know what people do? They just put the oars in and just drift right along. And they go right with the world. And you look at them and you can't even tell they're Christians. But you know what? Wait a second. Wait. Look. There's an outboard motor on my boat. Look, I didn't realize that. Here I am trying to do this on my own, and I'm trying to struggle against the rapids. It's not working, and I have an outboard motor. What do I need to do? But it was there all the time. What do I need to do?
Gas it up.
No, there's gas in it, too. There's gas in it. There's gas in it, but it's not working. It's not working. What do I need to do? I need to start it up. You know what that is? We need to get filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to get permeated by the Holy Spirit. We need to get anointed by the Holy Spirit. We desperately need the Holy Spirit. God, we need the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. That's the only way. The Christian life is not a hard life to live. It's impossible. Except through the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. We're going to sing. Guys, you want to come forward? We're going to sing. But I want you, if you want to be filled, I'll tell you what, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit more than ever before. I need it. I need him. But I want you, if God is saying to you, you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You are desperate for the Holy Spirit. I want you to come down, stand right here. Or in the aisles, just go out in the aisles and just stand in the aisle. We're going to sing through this song, and then I'm going to pray. And I'm going to pray that God's Spirit will come down, and we will be filled with the Holy Spirit like we've never been filled before. So if you want that, you need that, I need that, I want you to just come and stand up here, stand in the aisles, wherever, and we're going to say, God, come down. Make us a Spirit-filled church. Would you stand?